In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In our relationship with God and others, it's not always easy to know when should we be silent and when should we say something. And we don't get that discernment unless we are continuously in prayer with God to ask Him to direct our thoughts and our feelings. We've been reminded many times in the scriptures of silence. But of course, we also know that people have expressed their faith through their speech as well. And there are some examples when, of course, we express our faith through silence, when we're encountering a mystery. That's very important. In the church history. And so we really have to make every effort that we can to be silent at times in the church services, particularly during Holy Communion. And that's hard because we're getting in line and moving. But we do express our love for one another by receiving Holy Communion as well. There's a time and place for those greetings, which are also important. But God has to, but in the prophet Zephaniah says that we need to be silent or reverent the day of the Lord. Here, Sunday, of course, is called Kyriaki, the day of the Lord. Our participation in has done for us, but also his second and glorious return. So be silent in the presence of the Lord. The day of the Lord is near. And then this beautiful part, he says that he sanctifies all of those that he has invited. And that's what's happening in the liturgy. That's what happens when we're receiving Holy Communion. So there is an example of when we have to make every effort to respect the mystery for which speech does not suffice. Jesus also tells us not to prepare beforehand what we'll say in times of persecution, for the Lord will give us a tongue. So this is really a practice of trust that God will give us what's in our feelings. What about when someone hurts us? Jesus says that when your brother offends you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now we do use speech, but it's done in the spirit of wanting to do something good for the relationship and not to do something vindictive or return evil or to outsmart that person who may have made fun of us. When to speak and when to be silent. Today, Zacharias got. And now we have another thought that when we do speak, what should we say? Zacharias asks, when the angel of the Lord comes and says, you will be, that he says, how will I know this? And then the angel says that because you have not believed, you will be unable to speak until this happens. This great mystery, now God has made him unable to speak so that we would all be aware of our dependence on God, that this great news of salvation would be announced with great joy when it came time to name John the Baptist, the forerunner. We can contrast this questioning with what the Most Holy Lady said to the angel when the angel appeared to her and said that she would conceive. But this time it was not a question of disbelief. And she asked the question not as the prophet Zacharias did, how will I know this? How can I be so sure of this? How will this be? Which is a little different, because she's acknowledging that this will be, not how am I so sure that you're telling me the truth? How will this be? And the angel says that the power of the Most High will overshadow her. Sometimes we may also feel not so sure how God will use us in his plan of salvation, in the mystical life of the church. But when we are unsure of what we are confronted with, rather than have the question, how am I so sure that God is, if this is really true, we can say, how is it going to be that God great salvation? And we also know that Zacharias, before his prophecy, was a righteous man. He and Elizabeth were very righteous. Oh, he's perhaps too much in his head, which we can get like that. We can get too much in our head thinking about, well, how will I know? God still used him and still used him as a vehicle to prophesy this wonderful news that John the Baptist, who was going to be full of the Holy Spirit even in his mother's womb, would be declaring the great news that our salvation was at hand, and that we would be preparing for that through repentance. St. Paul says, I believed, and therefore I spoke. So, when we are encountered with mystery, there's nothing wrong with embracing the silence. One of my professors said that when we go and visit, it has endured some kind of tragedy, and they may be feeling distant from God or wondering or asking questions. He said that we are expressing better the love of God through our silence than we are by trying to give explanations. Even the Lord didn't come and give explanations for suffering. He gave us something better. He gave us himself. And we can give ourselves to God willfully and ask him to direct our speech, our thoughts, and that when we're faced with the mystery, to embrace the silence, and then when we're able to express our faith with words, then we can do that too. Because after the silence was over for the prophet Zacharias, he spoke beautifully. He spoke a song of praise. And he said to his son, who was born, you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And that's so beautiful. And God has made us a part of this beauty. And I think that if every day we try to meditate on how God will be and is making us a part of this mystical life, that we will hope and confidence and repentance and all that we need so that we can be in contact with holiness and acquire the salvation which has been prepared for us. To Christ our God be all glory, honor, and worship, together with his eternal Father and his all holy and good and life-creating Spirit, now and forever and unto the ages of ages.